Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're continuing in our Simple Summer Series, and say that three times fast, Simple Summer Series. Simple Summer Series, and we're kind of coming to the midway point of it, and today we're going to be talking about embedding. Our Simple Summer Series is a time in which we're taking to ask questions of Christian rhythms and practices, so that they lead us into places of wholeness and health. And we're going to ask questions of the practice or the rhythm of or tradition of Christian embedding today. So probably should begin with the question, what do we mean by that at all? What do we mean by embedding? We're going to start there. And we're going to walk through this morning a little bit differently. You notice I've got a couple of stools up here. I'm going to teach for just a few moments. And then we're going to invite Courtney Bridge to join us. And Courtney and Daniel Bridge are members of our community, and they live in such a way that I think it would be interesting to hear Courtney's perspective on Christian embedding and what that has looked like in her life as a young woman. And so a little bit of a different kind of mix-up today, but I'd like to begin with starting with the scripture of which we find embedding everywhere. And let's begin with Psalm 24, which is a psalm of David, and reads this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. 1989, or thereabouts, a film came out. And the film surrounded this main character who was a bit of a mad scientist. And he was working out of a laboratory in his home. And he was trying to figure out how to shrink things. Some of you are dating yourselves when you see them. It wasn't going all that well. And one day, his kids ended up going into this laboratory room in his house. And they were accidentally shrunk, almost down to microscopic levels. And they were swept up in a dustpan as the plot unfolded. And they ended up in the backyard. And the movie was so elegantly and subtly titled, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, right? You saw the title and you knew what the film was about if you wanted to turn up and see it. And this conversation ensued between the mad scientist and his wife, who had to explain that, honey, I shrunk the kids. And at one point in the film, he looks at his wife and he says, it must be like a jungle out there for them. Because as his kids were out there in the backyard, grass, leaves of grass, were like redwood trees to them. They were so small. Ants were the size of horses. And when the sprinkler system came on, it was like the Amazon River was sweeping them away. And throughout the film, and as they made their journey and tried to get big again, we were drawn into this world where we met people who were not bigger than or detached from the world in which they were in. And in many ways, when I read Psalm 24, strangely, I think of, honey, I shrunk the kids. I hear these words, and I think that's, in a sense, what Psalm 24 is saying, that humans belong to God, and they belong in the world, embedded in the world that God has made, not detached or removed from it, not necessarily thinking they're bigger or more powerful than the place in which they have been placed, but they find themselves surrounded by what feels like to them and to us this jungle. And anything other than that, any kind of thinking other than that, is living in an unreality rather than a reality. And with that worldview, the worldview that we're presented, that we're given in Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness, as one translation says, and the fullness thereof. With that worldview, Jesus maybe becomes a little more clear. That's what Jesus is all about. He belongs to his Father. We see this over again in the Gospels. And it's very clear that he's decided to belong in the world, embedded. That's what we read at the beginning of John's Gospel. The Word becomes human and makes his home among us. So we are told a story about Jesus who grows in the womb, a Jesus who's born, who grows up, who lives in this real world, who dies in the real world, and who lives again in this new world. And Jesus seems, as we follow him through the Gospels, to love God committedly by loving the world to which he sent and in which he plants himself in. And that's what we read in John 3 as well, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And the original language would say, for God so loves the cosmos. The cosmos. Everything that God sent Jesus. To bring us into a place of rescue, as we read the New Testament story, and ultimately renewal. For God so loves the cosmos that he sent Jesus, who rescues and renews. That's the story that we're told through the life of Jesus in the New Testament. And that's the gift and the work of Jesus. It's God actually working from the inside out to rescue and renew what God made to begin with. You and I and everything that we see when we look out of these windows and travel around the world to all the incredible places that each of us have been. And that's the invitation of the gospel to us. That's the invitation of Jesus. First, to recognize that we need a rescue and a renewal. To recognize as human beings that we haven't got it figured out. That we are not, in fact, bigger than or detached from or entirely over and above the space, the creation in which we find ourselves. That we need a rescue. We need change. And we also need a renewal. We have to face that truth that we need God in order to really live, to understand who we really are as human beings, and to be made new again through the person and the life and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. But the invitation to be rescued and renewed is the beginning of our experience of the gospel. It's the beginning of our experience of Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. The first invitation is for ourselves to be rescued, to be renewed. But the second invitation that we hear from Jesus as we read through the rest of the story is to actually now join in with God's renewing work. I have been made through Christ a new creation, we read in the letters of St. Paul. And I have been invited to help with God's new creation work right now where I live. And that's really one of the reasons why we can read later on in John's Gospel in chapter 16, where Jesus is sitting around his communion table with his disciples, having the Passover Seder, and he says to his disciples, it's better that I go so that the Father will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to fill all people so that God's Spirit and presence will work through all humanity, spread out all over the earth. Jesus says this isn't a concentrated thing. I'm not the only one, in other words, who does the embedding and renewing. He actually hands it over to his friends, to the first church, and through them, to us. And that's what Jesus prays for his disciples, actually, in John 17 as well. He says and asks to his Father, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but you'd protect them while they're in it. That's what Jesus prays. And so a Christian belongs to or finds home ultimately in God. We belong to God through Jesus, but we also belong in the world. Because of Jesus' life and Jesus' example, and because of the big story in which we live. And we live within the world, embedded within the world, to help renew it from the inside out. Not standing over, above, or detached, but actually just like Jesus, living from the inside out, living in the light of the eternal hope of the great renewal that comes, we're promised by Jesus, at the end of the age, but living in that kind of renewal now. So what does belonging to God and belonging in the world mean for us today? What does embedding and living a renewal kind of life look like? If it sounds really broad and like a very roomy kind of mandate or vocation, that's actually the point. Over the years, unfortunately, we Christians have tended to, at times, really narrow the gospel. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to just go and sign other people up for being Christians, and then we're done. That's it. That's all we do. There's so much more to being Christians than just signing other people up. Is that a part of it? Is it a part of it to invite and include other human beings? Absolutely. The question is, how do we do the inviting and the including? How do we do the inviting and the including? And that, I believe, is why living an embedded life that focuses on trying to be a life that renews and restores is really an expansive and an imaginative thing. There's a place for us all in that, in many ways. And I think that's one of the reasons why we read, again, what St. Paul says, that the body has many parts and that we all fit and work together. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We're different, there's space, and there's time to be who we've uniquely been created to be in the oneness that is the body of Christ, and to express that all kinds of different ways. So, if our faith has become narrow and dull, we might need a fresh splash of the gospel on our faces and allow ourselves to hear the big story and to get involved in the big picture. And to be fair, that can be overwhelming when we look at the world that needs renewal, isn't it? It can be overwhelming. It can feel, if we're to think back to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, it can feel like we're in a jungle out there, overwhelmed, if we really remember where we are embedded. So where do we start when we want to join in, but we feel very small in a very large backyard? Where do we start if we feel really small, but we want to join in, living in a really, really big backyard? Well, I think we need to begin, again, quite simply, from the inside out. And that's why a life of prayer is so incredibly vital. We've been speaking about prayer, I believe it was last week, and we'll always speak about prayer throughout the calendar year because it begins with an inner life. Amen. It begins with the inside out. The renewal starts there and then flows outward. And then it starts with small, simple steps. And so we'd like to do this morning is to talk about some of these small, simple steps. To recognize as Christians that we are absolutely here to invite and to engage people into a life with Jesus. But we can do that in unique and creative ways. And we can do that with the understanding that for God so loved the world, for God so loved the cosmos, that he sent Jesus. And that means so much more than just signing people up. It might mean something broader, something expansive, something imaginative. And so this morning we're going to take the rest of our time, we have quite a bit of it, of trying something a little bit different. Courtney and Daniel have been a part of our community for quite some time, and as I've watched their lives and as I've watched Courtney's life a little closely too, because she's been on our team in different capacities over the years, I think we'd benefit really from a conversation to hear a little bit about how Courtney and Daniel have expressed what it means to be a Christian and to understand the gospel in an embedded, renewing way. So, can we just welcome Courtney to the platform and say hi, Courtney, and welcome her. Okay. Now, Courtney, I'm really no like Stephen Colbert or Oprah Winfrey, though I think when Oprah interviews people, she does most of the talking half the time. But I hope that we can just have a conversation, because I think there's a lot that we can learn from your life, and some of the conversations we've had over the years have inspired me. And thanks for joining us today. So can you tell us maybe just a little bit about you and Daniel and who you are and what your life looks like?
Yeah. So my name is Courtney, and me and my husband Daniel have been a part of Living Waters community for over 6 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. We came back when we were teenagers. and it's been a cool journey for us just being a part of this community. We have gotten to be involved with both campuses in different capacities. So like Luke mentioned, I had the opportunity to be on the team here as Willoughby's Children's Ministry Assistant up until the end of this past year, at which point we had kind of felt God kind of preparing us for this season of transition. I had been wrapping up a lot of my time at Trinity. We ended up then very quickly selling our house and moving out to Langley because we felt our community was here. And then just this past spring, got to graduate from Trinity with my Bachelor in International Studies and really got to focus in that education on culture and development and what it means to build healthy community. And so that's kind of where I'm at today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you share maybe a little bit about your journey of wanting to be an embedded renewed person, and specifically about the connection with Trinity and what you were studying, what that journey mm-hmm. looked like for you?
So like all young individuals when they're first starting school, I went into my education at Trinity thinking, I know exactly what I want to do with this education, and I know exactly the way that I'm going to impact the world because I already know this. I just need the tools. Of course, with any form of education, you get a nice eye-opening to the fact that you have a lot to learn, and the more you learn, the more you realize there's a lot you don't know. So my education at Trinity, I say Bachelor of International Studies, Culture and Development. People often go, what is that even? And that's a good question, because it kind of encapsulates a lot of areas of different study, from politics and linguistics and economics and just kind of dealing with socioeconomic issues that are hindrances to change. And just this cool journey for me, getting to kind of learn more about how God's character is shown in all these different cultures and communities around the world. And it was just kind of this beautiful journey of understanding that there are so many different ways in which communities can be bolstered, that people can be built up to thrive, succeed, but also being really eye-opened and convicted of issues that we see all around the world that maybe we're not always paying attention to. And so it was probably about my second year at Trinity, I had kind of this moment of, okay, I've come through first year studies, pretty basic, pretty intro. If anybody's familiar with Trinity, you have your core courses, which are kind of a general introduction to a lot of subjects. And then second year was a little bit of like a wham to the face of, you're now dealing with this subject matter that is a lot more specific. And I realized I don't know any of this. and just really got confronted with a lot of issues that were happening around the world that were heartbreaking, and things that I had felt like, okay, we hear all the time, this is what breaks God's heart. And really being convicted when learning about how so many of these issues that people are facing around the world, across our country, in lower income communities, are actually originating or perpetuated by the decisions we make on a day-to-day basis here. And so, yeah, that was kind of the start of my journey into this, and just kind of wanted to learn what would it look like for my faith to really be shown and embedded in my life in every decision, even in the practical, mundane ways. And so that can look different, I think, for everybody. For us, it's definitely taken on this shape of, you know, our hope is to show great care for the creation that God has blessed us with, and therefore care for people that are in our backyard or also halfway across the globe that deal with the impacts of our decisions of convenience on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Remember a conversation we had where you guys expected to go somewhere mm-hmm. to help people, mm-hmm. and that hasn't happened at this point.
No.
But your views on that in terms of how to help a situation that is removed or feeling removed,
yeah.
And yet going, what could my part be in that now? Can you talk a little bit about that journey for us?
Yeah. So I think for myself, I went into international studies. You hear that word, you think of a lot of going to other places in the world. And my whole vision at that point as an individual stepping into my education was, I want to help these communities. I want to help people thrive. I want to find a way to serve the Lord in very practical, tangible ways. And in my head, that had really looked like for us the idea of like, oh, we're gonna move somewhere. We're gonna live somewhere internationally. We're gonna do some good work. We're gonna be involved in missions. And God beautifully calls a lot of people into that. And, you know, there's always that possibility for the story, but those opportunities, as they were kind of put in front of us, the door would keep closing. And I was like, okay, God, why are you putting such a passion and a heart for this on us of wanting to love people across the world and living on mission in that way when you've got us here and you keep rooting us in Langley? And I've lived in Langley my entire life. And we moved back to Langley after living in Surrey for like 3 years. And now I'm back here again. Yeah. And it was kind of this weird feeling. And then it was kind of this realization of, we can live on mission every day in very practical ways by thinking through the little decisions that we live and understanding that we can glorify God in the simple things of how do we choose to consume things? How do we choose to buy things? What is this? Who is this impacting? How do we care for the environment? All these little things that show God's glory on a daily basis right here locally, but cares for people globally as well.
Okay, so as Christians, a Christian would say that we're supposed to love people. Mm-hmm. We hope that we would do that. We don't always, but we hope that we would do that. Mm-hmm. How have you learned to love people through being mindful about the small decisions? I'm hearing you talk about things like ethical decisions and ecological decisions that you're making in your daily life. Yeah. Can you help us understand the connection between loving people, for those of us who are learning this and are fresh, loving people and loving the planet and all the stuff that we hear very much living on the West Coast,
yes,
that we might say we don't know what to necessarily do with that. How does that connect to your faith? How have you worked that through?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I mean, people are going to have different approaches to this subject matter all the time, but, you know, I think we're definitely living in an age where we're getting a greater awareness of kind of what is going on with the earth and what is going on with communities around the world and really how interconnected the world is in today's day and age, both in a media sense, but also in like what we do here with the environment impacts people there with the environment, and that there can be further in our province, further in our country, or further in the world. And so if I'm thinking through this and understanding, being confronted with these issues of, okay, the waste that I produce here is having a negative impact on people in these coastal Asian countries, or the items I'm purchasing because I want to quick consumption is being produced by somebody living in an unhealthy, unsanitary work environment. You know, we hear all the time about factory fires and all these different things that are being perpetuated, not necessarily by the people that are involved with it, but by our consumption. For me, it was kind of making this connection of, okay, the earth is God's creation, and in Genesis, we're talked about how we are made in his image and then are called to then go and subdue and care for the earth. So if we think about God's character, for me, I'm like, okay, God sustains us. When you talk about God subduing us, you hear him talk about sustaining us, wanting the best for us, renewing us, using the resources and the gifts he's given us for his glory. And that was kind of a connection point for me of going, okay, so how am I caring for creation and this gift that God's entrusted me in a way that's going to take care of it and also show love for other people? How am I caring for these people globally in how I'm taking and interacting with the earth? And I think, you know, as you start to care for these other people and you see the issues that they're dealing with as a repercussion of some of our decisions, it's a little bit convicting of going, if something I'm choosing is having a negative impact, and it's not necessarily that I'm wishing something bad on these people, but I'm not engaging with the world, with the environment in a wise way, how is that having a negative impact, and how is that showing love? And thinking, I have a really cool opportunity to show people all across the world that I care and love them and want to glorify God in how I treat them by thinking about how I engage with things like the environment and consumption.
Okay. Yeah, because I think to some degree, many of us are aware of what's been going on, especially in the last 60 to 70 years, mm-hmm, of the intensity of pollution and the intensity of some of the challenges and how have you said, everything is interconnected. And mm-hmm, we could kind of all go online at any point and go on Netflix or YouTube and watch a whole bunch of depressing documentaries, mm-hmm, right? They're out there and we're watching them, we're aware of them. So there's a level of feeling responsible for what, mm-hmm, we know. We had this conversation a while ago where you spoke really with a really hopeful voice, mm-hmm, actually, about what it means to be a Christian and also to care about ecology and ethical living. And so why are you hopeful about what looks so bleak as a Christian as you look at the world in which we're living right now and some of the challenges that we're facing?
I mean, I think for me, like the simple form of that answer is automatically, as believers, we know how the story ends. We know the gospel story. We know that God has come to redeem us, and that's where we get to rest in our hope and have that freedom. And so we don't need to be fearful of the outcome of things. Right. You know, God's will happens regardless of, you know, how we choose to participate in the story. God is so much greater than just our individual action. But we have this beautiful invitation to participate in his story on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think for me, you know, there's a lot of fear-mongering that happens in the world, and it's really easy to kind of fall into that depressive state of like, oh, this is hopeless, and I'm just one person, how can I change this? But realizing no one person is designed to change this, and we're all challenged by God to participate in the world and with other people in our own unique ways and the ways that he kind of puts on our heart. And I always like to kind of talk about it this way of saying, you know, when we feel like we let other people down, a lot of times we feel that level of guilt. I think the beautiful thing about when we feel like we're being convicted that, oh, maybe we're not living up to the standard or something that God's given us, there's freedom in that because we know he loves us regardless.
Right.
So we don't need to be weighed down by that fear of failure. Instead, we get to be empowered by the hope for how he's going to renew us and change us
right.
and empower us forward to live differently.
Right.
And so we have the opportunity to, you know, kind of from this day forward, go,
right.
what is a positive change I can make in my life in a simple way that is glorifying to God in a really simple matter?
Right. So can you talk about some of those ways that you and Daniel have made changes or made strides to try and live in a renewed, embedded way with that kind of freedom and that kind of hope?
Yeah, I think this has looked like a very interesting journey for us, and I would say it's probably been a good 3 years that we've kind of been walking through this kind of lifestyle shift for us. And it starts off really small, and they're all little small changes that kind of start to build on top of each other. I know for us, the kind of the first things we were looking at was like how much plastic packaging we were bringing into our house. And we had never looked at our trash before. We had just kind of been like, yeah, you take it, you use it, you throw it out, and they take it away and you don't ever have to see it again because we're really good at hiding that here. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, kind of becoming aware of that. Where is that actually going? And, you know, if we are called to care for this earth that God has given us and called to care for the people in it, I should care about where this is going. And then it was like, okay, this isn't necessarily always going somewhere good. How do we reduce that? And then it was like, what if I never got a to-go coffee cup again? What if I just brought a coffee cup with me everywhere I went, kept one in my car, you're done. What if I never took a water bottle, plastic water bottle ever again because we have clean tap water? It was these little things that it was like God kind of started opening my eyes to be like, oh, there's a little change here and a little change here and a little change here. And for us, it's kind of grown over the years into maybe more bigger commitments to change in, you know, how do we spend our money, starting to look at ethical consumption, secondhand consumption. Do we really need to buy that new? Are we thinking about who made this item and the living conditions that they were given? When we are thinking about, oh, I love this new trendy top, I'm going to buy this because I like it, I feel good in it, and then just kind of forgetting about the whole lead up of what happened to it before it got to us.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So it starts with like just a thoughtfulness of like, am I even thinking about this a little bit?
Yeah. I think something that there's always one scripture that comes to mind, and I think of Paul's words when he's, you know, people are debating over like, oh, well, can I eat this or can I not eat that? In when he's talking to the Corinthian church, and you know, it comes down his heart at this. He's saying, you know, everything is permissible, but not everything's good. And he kind of closes saying, you know, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I think Paul's words sum up the practical gospel lived out in daily action so well, because you don't have to worry about, oh, well, what if I can't do this one perfectly, or I can't make that decision, or what if I don't know the entire story behind this one item, and how do I consume this properly?
Right.
It doesn't need to be this loop that we kind of get stuck in. It's actually really freeing that it's God kind of giving us permission to go, you have the chance to just, with thoughtfulness and the positioning of your heart, do your best to serve me on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, I think we can do that with how we consume. Our circumstances all look different. Our opportunities, our economic status, depending on where we live, we have access to different things, and that's totally okay. But there's that freedom and just being able to rest in the fact that we're taught that if we just are doing it to glorify God, then that's really what matters. And God kind of helps figure out the rest of the piece of how that's going to play into the world.
Sure. Can you give us just a couple of practical examples as we are thinking about this, maybe particularly towards consumerism and particularly towards kind of ecological concerns of decisions and choices that you and Daniel have made or things that you've heard of that you haven't done yet that you would say, yeah, here's a really simple way that you can start maybe pursuing change and being an embedded, renewed person.
Yeah. I always like that idea of starting small, starting simple, fitting for the simple series. And realizing it doesn't have to be daunting changes. I think with anything effective in life, we build momentum slowly. We start really small and it'll kind of grow from there and you get more knowledgeable and more passionate about it. And then you get excited to kind of find the next way to kind of live that out. And yeah, so for us, it started really small. For me, it was like my coffee cup. It was, I'm going to bring this with me. And when I have friends kind of ask me this question, my encouragement is always start with one item, something that you have like the full capacity to make a really simple change over, because it is really empowering. Because when you start to see the success of that, you feel really good. Maybe it's, you know, you never take a to-go cup, never take a plastic water bottle. So take something that's small, easily accessible to where we live, and something that's empowering that. And then I would say being more thoughtful about maybe how we consume things. You know, I think the biblical narrative is filled with all these different examples of how we're called to stewardship. And so we're talking about, you know, creation stewardship, but I think financial stewardship can also play a big part into this. And thinking about, if my money is a vote for how I want to consume and what kind of world I want to be buying into, am I buying into a world that glorifies God if I am purchasing something? And so for us, a really practical way of that was just kind of creating a rule of, if we felt that need to buy something, kind of giving ourselves this few week time frame of going, unless it's an absolute necessity, we need to sit on this for a few weeks. And if we cannot find something in our house that satisfies this need, then we can go look at buying the best available option for our circumstance. And then I think just another really simple way is just building awareness of the simple calls of Scripture, the things that, you know, are really life-giving and empowering, that is not condemning but very hopeful of just, you know, the Bible, like what the Bible talks about living a really thoughtful, content life. You know, we're taught to be content regardless of circumstance. And I think that's a big underpinning of how we live our lives in a mindful way, because if we're content and we recognize that God's already blessed us, largely for most of us, just living in Canada, that satisfies so many of our basic needs, then if we can be content with that, how much more can we think of our money, our resources, our goods, all this kind of stuff as an opportunity to bless and be thoughtful rather than thinking about what else can I get? Because really, so many of our needs are already satisfied through Christ.
Right, right. That's really good. Really good stuff, Courtney. Could you give us maybe a couple of specific resources that you found to be helpful or next steps we can go into? And we publish like discussion notes for after, so people can log on later and like find more resources there. But were any ones that you would specifically mention?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I were to like break this down, it's like a lot of little pieces, and a lot of it's come out of my time at Trinity, which is like excerpts of different chapters of textbooks that still sit on my shelf.
So go to Trinity, spend $80,000, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Just kidding.
Extra.
Or have a conversation with Courtney Bridge.
Yeah. Right. Extra helpful if you have a parent that goes there, that works there. Yeah. But there have been like a couple things that have definitely stood out to me. I would say one of the resources that was something we actually read in one of our like theories and practices development class is a book that actually I think a lot of people have read, which is When Helping Hurts. Okay. And that's I think a common book. I've heard, talked to a lot of friends that have already kind of, oh, they're aware of that.
When Helping Hurts.
When Helping Hurts. Okay. And it's just a nice idea. A lot of it has to do with when you're over there, but it's like when you want to go somewhere to help, how do we most effectively help people kind of help their own communities rather than us kind of taking that savior complex and owning it and thinking about how do we help people in a way that isn't actually taking away their opportunity to bring change to their own community.
Whether that's like somewhere in Asia or it's the downtown east side or anything like that.
Exactly. Okay. It's really about empowerment and this idea of how do we be most mindful about how we're helping, not so much about what feels good for us, but what is actually going to empower and be sustainable for the long term. So that's a really practical, easy read resource that I think a lot of people are already familiar with, but is a great read if you have time to pick that up. And then I think for me, one of the great resources is actually just really being plugged in with your news. And I'm a big CBC fan in the sense of like environmental news, what is happening around Canada and what are the issues there. I think having that kind of more daily awareness, you know, it's amazing what a resource just being aware of what's mm-hmm. happening around us is. And it'll kind of, I think certain things will kind of spark different passions and you'll kind of learn about a different issue. And it's amazing how God kind of puts a specific target and a specific topic kind of on your heart. And then all of a sudden sure. it's kind of what kind of grows out of that.
But, yeah. And then maybe I could just add in, you do have an Instagram account that's dedicated to this kind of thinking, right?
Yeah.
What the handle is what?
Pursuing Felicity.
Pursuing Felicity. Felicity.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll put those on our discussion notes if you're looking for that, because there's like daily kind of ideas almost like of like what you can get up to and how you can do stuff.
Yeah. Basically, the word felicity in like the old meaning is basically to find like the perfect expression for one's values.
Okay.
And so it's this idea of like, how am I pursuing daily the best way
daily
to do
values.
It? So it's not always daily that I post on there, but it was more for my friends that were asking questions. It's just kind of a way for me to kind of
sure.
share my daily journey of what are the really practical small
yeah.
ways that I can live this out. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Courtney, thank you for being willing to share with us. And just to kind of open the conversation, we're not here to solve problems, we're just here to start those conversations.
Yeah.
So thank you for opening the conversation and for getting us thinking a little bit. And you know, many of us are thinking that way. We completely recognize this is not fresh, new topic stuff.
Yeah.
But it's important to continue to keep it in the center of what it means to be a Christian and asking those questions. So thank you for joining us today. And can we say thank you to Courtney? Yeah. And Courtney, would you be willing to pray for our community today as we
yeah.
close? So maybe we could all stand together and Courtney's gonna pray.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that is today, that we live in a place that we have the freedom to gather and learn about you and learn what it means to live out your glory every day. I thank you for the fact that you have this beautiful story that you're writing and that you have welcomed us into the folds of every aspect of that. I pray that as a community of believers, we would just move forward from today thinking very practically about what it means to embed you in every aspect of our lives, from our driving, to our eating, to our drinking, to gathering people in our homes, to how we shop, to how we talk to people, how we engage with our cashiers, all these little things, God, I pray that you would just be on our hearts and embedded in our minds for all these practical little decisions, and that through that, we would just radiate your light, your love, and your glory in such a practical way that the world can't help but ask what's different. I pray that you would just use each one of us in our unique ways to bring your light and passion into this world, God, and that we would just see your glory exemplified and your light and love shown so deeply and abundantly the same way you have shown us, just in very practical, practical ways, God. We thank you for your love, your abundance, your stewardship and sustaining of us. May we emulate that in our day-to-day lives. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And we invite you to join us at our welcome meetup, if you're newer, just down the hallway on our right-hand side here. Thanks for joining us today.